Nick, when you're on stage and you want like the whole crowd to go crazy, like what's the song that you always play?
I think that's a great question. I play American Girl by Tom Petty a lot. Mm-hmm. That's one of my all-time go-to cover songs. Also, we used to do No Diggity. Remember that's everybody knows No Diggity.
Right.
We used to do that song. It's kind of like a funk rock version that always got people going nuts. But I've done it too many times, so I don't do it anymore. So I need to find another No Diggity, basically.
I mean, we have to be able to. Good. Well, you know, it's funny. Nick Fradiani is my guest co-host all this week. He is season 14 American Idol winner. Raven is going to be on vacation. He'll be back next Tuesday. I always think about that because people always say, like, don't you get tired of hearing the same songs on the radio? And the truth of the matter is half the time I'm not paying any attention to what's happening on the air.
Right.
But as a Zumba instructor, I remember that we did Despacito by like the Justin Bieber version, right? So many times that every time I hear that song, I cringe. And I always think, like, for real artists like you, when you go on the road, like, it's the same songs that you have to play over and over. Like, do you get sick of your own music sometimes?
Sometimes. And then, like, you just stop. Like, there's one song I just can't stop playing, and that's Beautiful Life, which was, like, my coronation song on Idol. So that song I've literally done, I mean, that over 1,000 times probably at this point. But I haven't gotten totally sick of that one. Sometimes I'll get sick of another song that I've played a bunch. I'll give it a little break, and then when you bring it back, it's, you know, you kind of, you remember why you liked it.
Yeah. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here. I'm excited to have you till Tuesday. I know that you're probably getting ready for the weekend.
It's been fun. I've really enjoyed it.
Raul, getting up early is not easy.
That is a struggle for me.
Especially if you're a musician and you're up like playing shows late at night. This is a whole different world.
My body's like, what is going on here?
Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Call or text 1-800-330-9999. Nick Fradiani is my special guest co-host while Raven is on vacation. Nick, if you use a fork to open an English muffin, that's all I need to know about you. Did you see this viral video yet?
I haven't.
So it's this dude, and he discovered something, and here he is talking about it.
You're supposed to open English muffins up with a fork? Split using a fork. This is going to be perfect. This is perfect. You're supposed to open up English muffins with a fork.
I also share in his outrage, because how do you do that? Where do you store your English muffins, Nick?
Well, I stuff mine in this cabinet to the left of my stove, and they stay in there for 3 months. I find them, they're green, and then I throw them out.
Well, exactly. So here's a tip, and it's a disgusting tip, but it works, is that if you put them in the refrigerator, they last a long time, but they get condensation inside in the nooks and crannies.
They're like little, like, soggy English muffins.
But at least you could continue to eat them. But there is no world where you can take a fork on a refrigerated English muffin and split it in half. You have to use a serrated knife, and you have to use a sharp one, actually, to make it happen.
And aren't they, like, kind of already cut?
Yeah.
You just gotta, like, twist them around. And then I always destroy them. I don't know. I don't do well with English muffins.
But I certainly don't know anybody in their right mind that uses a fork to split them.
Yeah, never heard of that one.
Yeah. That's all I need to know about you.
So, if you overuse movie or TV quotes, and basically you act as if it's your joke, and you're like, look for laughter, that's all I need to know about you. It's not your joke.
It's not, unless it really works in the situation.
True. True. But I feel like most of the times I hear it, I feel like, come up with your own material.
Yeah. Actually, my co-host Raven loves to do that. He has a movie quote for absolutely everything that we're doing, and I find it incredibly aggravating, because it'll be like an obscure movie quote, and then we have a conversation. You didn't see that movie!
Oh, yeah, and then they get mad at you.
Right.
Actually, that's another one. People get mad at you when you haven't seen certain movies. Like, all right, like, what do you want a prize?
Right. But this weekend, we had a bachelorette party, and we walked into the hotel room, and it was really big, and Tina yelled out, there's so much room for activities!
I've used that one.
It was appropriate.
That was appropriate.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you constantly hit the snooze button before waking up, that is all I need to know about you. Waking up is the worst part of the day. Why would you want to relive that terrible moment every 10 minutes for an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, don't. I guess he doesn't want to know me.
Are you a snoozer?
Yeah, especially these days, the last four. I've been snoozing like a crazy person. It sounds like an orchestra in my room half the time. All different alarms going off.
Well, at least you've made it to work every day on time.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. 1-800-330-9999. Did you get lost as a kid? Where? What happened? How long were you gone for? Nick, it was a big week for me because my little one, Dakota, she's 2.5 years old. She started preschool for the first time. Yeah. And my niece, Cece, who's the same age, also started preschool for the very first time. I always say, like, the one positive of being, like, a full-time working mom is, like, Dakota is used to doing things on her own and me sometimes not being around because of my work schedule.
Right.
So, like, she was pumped for school. Like, she was, like, ready to go. And, like, she like, turned around. She waved goodbye to my husband and she walked right in that door, you know?
Love it. Love the confidence.
Yeah. Like, she's got no problem. She's like, let's do this, school. But Cece, my niece, my beautiful little niece, like, she's very, very close to my sister. So it was hard for her. And it was, like, the tears on the first day where she walked in crying and mommy, don't leave me. And everything that a mom fears is going to happen on the first day school. And it got me thinking because when I was little, I was that kid. I was the kid that cried and I didn't want to go to school. And twice on the first day of school, I got lost. First time, they sent me to a Catholic school and I was afraid of the nuns. I was 3 years old. And I walked in and I was, first of all, why do nuns wear the most terrifying outfit of all time?
They're trying to be intimidating. You better behave.
Like the habits and the all black. Like that is terrifying for a 3-year-old. So I was already afraid for that. I didn't want to leave my mommy. And then there was a rabbit. And they try to like say like, look, we have a rabbit. But the rabbit bit my finger. And I was like, I guess I'm out. I was like, I'm out. I'm out of this.
That was enough for you.
Yep. So as a 3-year-old child, I snuck out. I went into the back of my mom's car while my mom was talking to the nuns. And I hid in the back seat. And nobody knew where I was. And my mom drove home not knowing that I was hiding in the back seat. And then, you know, it was like the panic, the phone calls of where is she? Where is she? And then, you know, when we got home, I kind of just popped my head up and I'm like, no, I'm right here. And that was the first time I got lost. Second,
wow.
First day of school. Can you imagine? Like now as a parent, like thinking back on that, how terrifying that must have been.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's a wild story.
Second time I was a different school, took me out of the nuns. They were like, yep, no, she's not cool with them. Second time, my mom lied to me and said, I'll be waiting in the parking lot. Like, just so, like, to give me, like, that mental, like, calm, like, don't be scared. I'm going to be in the parking lot the whole time. Well, what do? We go out for recess. I'm like, let me go see my mom. And I just wandered off. I just left. And, like, they had to come find me. I was, like, down on the road. Like, what?
Was she there? Wait, was she?
No,
she
lied.
Was just saying that. Oh, she was saying that. And so you were like, I'm gonna call her out on her, lies here.
No, I thought my mommy was in the parking lot.
Yeah, you were going
to
look for her.
Yes.
That's funny.
Got lost again. And then when you realize your mom's not in the parking lot and you're, like, on the side of 95, you're like, you know, like, it's a different story.
These nuns were not on top of their security over there. What was going on?
I'm like, what preschool
kids
did you
send
me?
Kids just wandering off?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, did you ever get lost when you were a kid?
Few times. I remember I was 9 years old. I was a diehard Yankee fan somehow already at that age because my dad is a crazy Yankee fan. He brought me to like this huge fan convention where they had, you know, past and current Yankees were there. You get autographs. I loved baseball cards at that point. They had all that and memorabilia. And without even realizing it, I just wandered off and I was like in this like, glazed over eyes looking at all these things. Then I like snapped back into reality. I remember this and I was like, where I'm just in a sea of like middle-aged Yankee fans,
right.
And I'm like, where the heck am I?
Staring at kneecaps.
Of course, you hear the old loudspeaker where they're like, Nick Frediani, please report to the Reggie Jackson Memorabilia Center. And I did.
Oh, but, that's good.
Yeah.
You reunited with your father.
The Yankees kept me up too late last night, and they lost again. So I'm not pleased with them.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
On our text line, it says, I used to always get lost at the beach. The beach is a really tough one. You lose things, lose people all the time at the beach. Nick Frediani is my guest co-host while Raven is away on vacation. This comes up because as a kid, I used to get lost all the time. I was on vacation and I lost my family at the beach because nobody wants to leave the beach to go get the food from the boardwalk. I always had to do it by myself, Nick. And then I was getting scared because I've got like two arms full of like gyros, french fries, and hot dogs, and I'm just wandering up and down looking for them. I feel like kids are always lost at the beach.
Yeah, I feel like I would get like caught up in current waves and I'd be all into the waves and I'd get like all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, I'm like in another state.
Exactly.
Right now. How the heck did this happen?
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where did you get lost when you were a kid?
There used to be Rickles Home Center, but every Friday my parents would go there to get stuff for the house. And every Friday evening I got lost, and they took me to the center over there to, like, call my parents every single Friday afternoon.
Now they're like, here she is again, this kid.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Can you imagine how much smack they talked about those parents behind their back?
Yeah, they're like, this is the fourth Friday in a row. What is going on with these people?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you get lost as a kid?
When I was four, we lived in California, and my sister would walk to school. She was 2 years older. I had to go put my tricycle away, and she convinced me to walk with her to school, which we thought was great, and then I was going to wait in the playground until school was done and she was going to come out. Like, for her, school went fast. For a four-year-old that needed to go to the bathroom, it didn't go so fast. Meanwhile, my mother's called the police. The police are looking in all over L.A. for me. And I started walking home. A police car stopped, told me to get in. I told him I thought he was fake. I wouldn't get in. And so he followed me all the way till I got home.
That's incredible.
That's crazy. You did do what you were told by not going into a stranger's car.
Yep.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you get lost as a kid?
I got lost going to a department store. I was playing hide and seek with my dad, and I was hiding in the clothes, mm-hmm. and the elevator opened up, and I ran in, and the elevator went somewhere. My dad said he saw me, and I had no idea where I was, and next thing you know, you hear my name on the loudspeaker saying, your child is at this floor.
Dakota, my little one, she's 2.5, Nick, she's a runner, and she loves department stores because she likes to go do the exact same thing, like to hide inside the things. So what I do is I point to the mannequins, and I've had every psychiatrist that's ever come on the show has told me not to do this because it's going to cause issues later on. But I'm telling you, it's effective. You know, it's effective parenting. I call it creative parenting. Okay. But I point to the mannequins and I say, if you hide from mommy, that mannequin will steal you. Or I tell her, I point to strange men and I say, or that man will take you and kidnap you. Now, again, probably not the... you know, the best thing to do, but is it effective? 100%. She doesn't run away that much anymore. That much.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Twice on my first day of school, when I was very young, I wandered off and got lost. And I remember being terrified. Like, one time I was like wandering in the parking lot. The other time I snuck back into my mom's car and everybody freaked out because they thought I was lost, but I just didn't want to go to school because I was scared. I think it's terrifying as a kid when you get lost, but it's also terrifying for the parent too.
I wonder who it's more terrifying for. I feel like it is for the parent.
When Dakota, my 2.5-year-old, because she's a wanderer, it's like you keep your eyes off her for 1 second and she's gone. It's like your heart stops.
I can't even imagine.
You just start like, so you're, Dakota!
Yeah.
You know, you start turning into a crazy person.
I'm not a parent, but I like watch. When you watch movies and you see the kids missing and the parent goes, it's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
Even like, I'm like, I can't even handle that.
You're right. When did you get lost as a kid? 1-800-330-9999.
I got lost at the mall. I was a very strong-willed kid, and I really wanted Cinnabon, but my mom wouldn't get it for me. So, you know, in the middle of her, like, shopping through Macy's, I just kind of wandered off, and I ordered some Cinnabon. And then when they realized I couldn't pay, they called mall security because I was obviously a child.
How old were you?
I think it was 7.
Wow.
When this happened?
I don't think I would have known how to even order at 7.
You just go up there and you're like, can I have a Cinnabon?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. You don't even think about it as ordering. You're just like, give me food.
Right. No, I could understand. And those Cinnabons are something special.
They are. Just the smell. Like, it's like in the cartoons when, like, you know, you get like, you follow the scent.
Mm-hmm.
That's like that's what that does to you in the mall.
Absolutely.
They're so addicting.
Right. I mean, it's not really your fault that you wandered off. It's kind of their fault for making their stuff smell so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Where did you get lost as a kid?
Yeah, so I got lost as a kid in Disneyland. It was so embarrassing. I mean, I was like maybe 12 years old, so I remember it pretty well. And they announced my whole name on the loudspeaker throughout the whole park, looking for me. It was so embarrassing.
Well, we have the exact same story then, because I got lost in a water park in Disney. I can't remember what it was called.
In Disney World.
Disney World. And me and my sister, I was like 9 or 10. My sister was probably, so we're 6 years younger. So she was really young. And my mom let me take her around on the, what's the thing where you just like float? The Lazy River?
Yep.
And the Lazy River was huge. And my mom's like, don't get off until you see me. I'm going to wait right here. And so I remember I was like, that looks familiar. This is where we get off after being on it for a short period of time. Got off the totally wrong spot.
They all look exactly the same. I am 41 years old. I get lost on the Lazy River all the time.
We got so lost until I heard them like announcing our name over the loudspeaker. And my sister was totally not freaked out at all, but I was freaking out.
Because she was little. She figured Nick was going to take care of me.
And I could not take care of her. I guess it's easy to get lost there.
Hi, Anna and Raven. Where'd you get lost as a kid?
So I got lost at the mini golf course, and you know, I'm one of five kids, and just kind of wandered off, got lost. My parents freaked out. I kind of freaked myself out because it was one of those ones that was like, you know, Pirate's Cove with like different caves and things, and yeah, I was freaked out, I remember.
Do you know how long you were actually missing for?
Probably like 3 minutes. Yeah. I was really freaked out.
But it feels like forever. Like, even if it's a couple minutes and it's like, as a parent or a kid, it feels like absolutely forever when you're lost.
I can't imagine having a kid and not knowing where the child is for even 10 seconds.
It's
true.
It must
feel like forever.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they were like just two holes behind you the whole time. All right. So there's a new list, the best makeout songs of all time. And I'm confused by it, Nick. And it's because I don't know if I've just been married too long that I don't know anything about this. Nick Frattiani is my special guest co-host. He's American Idol winner and, more importantly, our friend, and been doing a fantastic job while Raven is away on vacation.
Thank you.
Now, Nick is young and handsome and is still, like, even though you have a serious girlfriend now, you're still kind of understand the dating world.
I think so.
Do people still have makeout songs, like songs that they're their songs? Is that a thing? Because I thought that was something you do when you're 17.
I guess. I mean, you can go on Spotify now and like find playlists, I guess. That would be like makeout playlists or something, maybe.
Do you normally go and look at them by any chance? No, right?
No.
So I guess no.
I guess my answer is I don't think so.
Right. Like if you're having a romantic evening. Now, maybe I'm going a little too far, right? You and Lauren are having a lovely time. You're going to head back to the house. Are you like, let me fire up our favorite songs. These are the songs that are going to get us in the mood.
She might.
Yeah?
She's big on, like, music and, like, thematic of, like, if it's dinner time, we'll, like, put on Sinatra and stuff. And so, yeah, maybe.
Okay. These are the top three songs, and I have a problem with every single one of them. Here's the first one.
Every one?
Yep.
What?
Explain to me how Crazy Town's Butterfly
is. How did that make it?
That's the number three song of all time? Does that make any sense? Like, who loves that song?
Guys with tribal tattoos?
Probably. Here's number two. Now, that's a good
song. Great song, but yeah. Like, I don't know. Okay.
I was actually thinking after I heard that, like, certainly not a makeout song in my book, but I definitely thought, I don't have any Cure on any of my playlists anymore. Like, I should definitely put that on. That's Love Song by Cure, if you're not familiar with it. This is the number one makeout song of all time. Ready for it? Never, never gonna give you up. I'm never, ever gonna stop. Not the way I feel about you. I just think, when I hear that song, that Obama and Michelle definitely make out to that. Is that what you immediately think? Do you immediately think that?
I didn't, but...
But now it makes sense.
Now I can't not see that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. If you could pick out the number one makeout song of all time, what would you say it is? What do you think is the greatest makeout song of all time? I have hesitations about this list because they say these are the top three. Number three? Come my lady, come my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar baby. Who's playing Crazy Town? Who? Nobody I know. That's for sure, right? Unless it was like, what, 1997, Nick?
I guess if it's like in that year, but like all time, no way.
Number two. I mean, good song, Love Song by Cure, but I mean, one of the greatest
makeout. I'm going to say what I like that choice. I actually do. I love that song.
I saw Nick putting that in his notes in his phone. It's really awkward. Number one makeout song of all time, according to this new list. Never, never gonna give you up. It's classic, but I don't know. I don't know anybody that pulls that up still, right?
That's a banger. I haven't heard that in a while. I'm definitely going to listen to that on the drive home.
Now, Nick Frattiani is still young and like relatively out there and knows what's going on. Unlike me, who's been married for 16 years, and I would never fire up a song for anything like that. I'd be like, just be quiet. The kids are sleeping. What do you think would be the greatest makeout song of all time?
Well, when I was thinking of this, I was more thinking of like, when I remembered first, like, oh, I really want to make out. Like, I want to make out with a girl. And that was when I was, like, in middle school. And this song was, like, the song that you were like, I hope one day I could slow dance with a girl and make out with her. And it was Casey and JoJo, All My Life. Every middle school dance, at least for people my age.
Okay, I have a question. Because I also would dance to this at middle school dances.
Mm-hmm. We had to have the Holy Spirit between us because I went to a Catholic
Yeah, so school. I went to one too, and you had the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But wait, did you do the sandwich? Because I always talk about this, and no one knows what I'm talking about, where it would go boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, and we'd look like a worm, but everybody would just kind of be swaying to the music like that.
Never heard of
no?
that.
No?
That's weird.
I don't know. When I think makeout songs, I think this. I mean, right?
I mean, you're getting a little, I think you're getting a little above makeup if you're pulling that song out.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, what's the greatest makeout song of all time?
Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye.
Yeah.
I mean, that's classic. See, yeah. I could sign off on that because at least I feel like everybody knows that, right?
Right.
How did that not even make this top 10? Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What is the greatest makeout song of all time?
Yes, I think it's Your Body is a Wonderland. Your body is a wonderland.
Your body is a wonderland. This would be a good time to bring up Nick's weird obsession with John Mayer. Do you actually...
Man, she had to use that song and
right?
Now everyone's going to know.
Because you're obsessed with him.
Oh, yeah.
But he was mean to you when you met him, right?
He wasn't mean. He just basically... pretended as if I wasn't there. And I'm gonna just pretend that he didn't notice me. I've had You wanna know what's really embarrassing? I'm gonna say it quick because it's gonna come out weird. I've had a dream of John Mayer where he gave me a full on guitar lesson.
Oh, okay, that's better than I thought you were gonna say.
It was a great dream. I like felt like I was learning. I woke up and I was like, do I remember anything the guitar master taught me? And I didn't, but okay.
That's
wish I didn't
weird.
Tell that on
I know everybody keeps saying it, but like, Nick, can you believe it's 20 years since the 9/11 attacks?
No, it's wild.
Right?
Yeah.
Where were you on 9/11? Because everybody's got a story.
I was 15 years. So I was a sophomore in high school and I was in Mr. Trenzi's English class. Mm-hmm. I remember that. And I just remember one of the teachers coming in and kind of telling him, like, you got to put the news on. And then I just remember watching it. I think one plane had hit.
Yep.
At that time. Anyway, so that's all I remember.
Did they let you watch it in the classroom?
Yeah, that was it. I remember we watched the whole thing in that English class, and I went to my next class and watched more. And I think that's when they started to fall, and that's when people started like freaking out, and you know, you'd see people run into the nurse's office. People were calling their, you know, family members and trying to figure out what was going on. It was scary.
Yeah, I
remember being scared.
Every year I think about it. I mean, you think about it all the time. It's always in the back of your mind. It's one of those things that you're never going to forget. But even like telling the story and remembering that moment, I've got like all the shivers like up and down my arms. I was at Pace University in Westchester, New York, and it was my senior year. And I was dead asleep. You know, we definitely had gone out the night before.
Yeah.
And remember, it was a beautiful day. Like, it was gorgeous. And the sun was streaming into my room. And I heard one of my sorority sisters yell from downstairs, guys, they just canceled classes. And like, instinctively, I thought, it's not snowing, because the only time they would ever cancel classes when it was snowing. So I jumped up and I'm like, why do they cancel classes? And they're like, get down, Garrett, get down here. So I remember going downstairs and we all watched it together and we all watched the towers fall together and we were horrified and we kept looking out the window and we were afraid to leave our house, our sorority house, our townhouse, because remember, we didn't know like if there were still more in the air, and right. like the whole school had gone on lockdown. So we were just like petrified and scared and looking up and looking at the planes and trying to see. And it was like an air, like eerily quiet, and everybody was really solemn. And I'll never forget it, because this is the part that breaks my heart the most, is that a lot of people we knew, their parents worked there. And I remember looking at the line of black limos that was pulling on campus, pulling up to the townhouses, and watching, like, watching them leave, like, you know, and getting the call that it was time to, they were bringing them home to their parents families, and their yeah. families, you know. Jeez. And it was just, it was absolutely haunting. And watching it from afar, I can't imagine what it was like that day to be a first responder. And coming up in a little bit later on, we have first responder Ed Smith. He's going to be joining us. He's a Port Authority police officer. He was there that day, and he'll tell his story. It's coming up in a little bit. I still can't believe it's been 20 years since the 9/11 attacks. And I still think about the first responders all the time, including Ed Smith, who's a Port Authority police officer. On 9/11, I was a senior at Pace University in Westchester, New York. And I remember how terrifying it was for me, but the point of view of a first responder. Ed, what can you share?
Well, first, after I graduated high school, I worked construction, building the World Trade Center. I started in September of 1969, and we poured the concrete floors for both buildings and Building 7. And then on the 11th, the Port Authority Police gave us a day off for if you give blood. So I was home. It was like 9 o'clock in the morning watching TV, mm-hmm. and I saw the plane hit the first one. And I told my wife, I said, I got to go, because I knew all the ins and outs of the Trade Center. She asked me not to go.
I'm sure.
I said, I have to. So I finally made my way up to Staten Island, where I was assigned, and they told me to go right away. They gave me a patrol car and told me to go. I got there. I figured, trying to think of what I'll do when I get there, and I looked. It looked like an atomic bomb went off. You had two buildings, 110 stories, that were compacted into six stories underneath the ground. And going through the pile, everything was just completely demolished. And with the jet fuel that poured, you know, down into the basement, the steel was so hot the first week or so that your boots would stick to the steel. So that was the beginning. And then we worked 7 days a week, 12, 14 hours a day for search and rescue.
Ed Smith was one of the first responders on 9/11.
There was two Port Authority cops that were buried in the rubble. People dug them out, and my partner and I carried the first guy, Will Jimino, off the pile to the triage center. That night I got home around 1 o'clock. I was up work again by 5 in the morning because my uniform was just completely destroyed. And then every day after that, we just worked, you know, looking for people, and then it was just search and recovery.
How did your wife feel every day having you get up and go?
She was afraid to see a patrol car pull up and somebody get out with the priest. You know, I had a job to do, but somebody had to do it. Not a day goes by that I don't think of it. It was just horrible. And it's funny because I was looking for a beam back in, I guess, 1970, 71. I was up on the 44th floor, and I wrote on a beam with a paint can, a spray can, you know, Ed and Debbie. That's my wife's name.
Mm-hmm.
But I never found it.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. I could tell you that I'm terrified every year at this time. I'm sure you understand that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, I hate that it's 20 years, but then again, I can't imagine that it's 20 years. It's been 20 years that has gone by.
Yeah. I mean, it's still fresh in my mind. I wish it would go away.
Well, Ed, I'm sure you've heard this a lot, and I'm going to just say it again. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being a first responder. Thank you. Somebody had to take the lead. And you took the lead. Like you keep saying, you just had to go do your job, but that wasn't an ordinary job. So thank you.
We did everything we could to bring something home to the people. Somebody had to do it.
And you did it. There's not many people that would ever trade places with you to ever have to experience what you experienced. Never in a million years.
I had very good support in the family. So my wife, she was tremendous help for me.
Well, Ed, I want to say thank you again so much for everything you did that day.
There's a book called Reuters News Group.
Mm-hmm.
After September 11th, there's a full page of me in there with my picture.
Oh, I got to go check it out.
Yeah, it's called After September 11th.
You're a true hero, Ed, and thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Ed Smith, he was one of the first responders on 9/11 with the Port Authority Police. I'll be thinking about you all day, Ed.
You too, ma'am.
So Nick Fradiani is American Idol winner and my guest co-host while Raven is away until Tuesday. And Nick, Raven and I do a lot of volunteer work in the schools. And all the time, like when we say, oh, do you have any questions for us? Without fail, somebody will raise their hand. Who are the famous people you know? And there's always that one kid's like, do you know LeBron James? And I have to break his heart and be like, nope, I don't know LeBron James. And the truth of the matter is like, I don't really know a lot of famous people. Like, do I interview Katy Perry? Yeah. But like, is she my friend? No.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I always feel embarrassed when they ask that because I don't really have like a cool answer for it. But I feel like you have to actually know famous people. I mean, you hung out with J-Lo for an entire season.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have like best friend celebrities, I wouldn't say. Actually, I guess a few, now that I think about it, musician-wise, that I guess I consider friends. But yeah, you get to meet a lot of cool people, especially like while I was on the show and then, you know, coming back to the show years later. You meet a lot of famous people, I guess.
So now I'm going to be that kid. Call on me. I'm raising my hand in the classroom. Call on me.
Anna?
Yes. Hi, Nick. Have you ever met any famous people? Who's the most famous person you ever met?
I think... All right, the most famous. I briefly met Robert De Niro once.
What happened?
Which is funny because then I later played his character in A Bronx Tale many years later. But this was like a day after I won American Idol. I had a meeting with people from my management team that, you know, were just starting to work with me. And I was all confident. I had just won. I couldn't have been a more confident human being at that point. And so I see Robert De Niro sitting at a table next to me. And I'm like, that's right. I got to go talk to him.
Right.
Or at least say hello to him. And I...
Did you introduce yourself as American Idol winner Nick Fradiani?
I'd like to say I didn't. And I don't think I did. So no. But I walked up to him and I was like, hey, I'm a huge fan. I don't know if I addressed him like Mr. I don't remember. But I just remember saying, like, can I get a picture? And all he did was look at me and like shocked that I even interrupted him. I didn't interrupt him while I was eating or anything, but he just said, I'm off the clock, kid, and walked right by me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
it was kind of gangster.
It
you know?
Is gangster.
So
yeah.
I was like, I was OK with that. But I guess you can consider that kind of being mean.
I guess I actually just read somewhere somebody had texted us the other day that they had met Jerry Seinfeld and it was the same thing. He said they asked for a picture and he said, will you deal with a handshake instead? And I was like, OK, I guess what do you do if anybody ever asked me for a picture? I immediately take it and then take one with my phone, too. I'm like, I'm going to take one, too. I'm going to take one, too.
Did you ever see when Seinfeld wouldn't give Kesha a hug?
No.
Oh, my God. It's the funniest video ever. So Kesha, like, sees Jerry Seinfeld and was, like, freaking out. And she's, like, coming up to him. And she's, like, going for a hug. And he's like, nah. He doesn't know who she is. But it's just hilarious how he's just not having it. It was such a perfect Seinfeld moment.
All right. So who is the most famous? Howie Mandel was mean to you, too, when you did. So a lot of people don't know this, but before Nick was on American Idol, you auditioned for America's Got Talent.
That's right. I was doing all the reality shows.
Yeah. And I remember Howie Mandel was not nice to you.
No, for no reason. He didn't like us. He didn't like our band. He just kept saying, like, he was like mad that we were doing original music, which I found to be so strange. But he just had this like smug, like arrogant kind of attitude towards it. Like, I don't know. I didn't like. I was like, I wouldn't tell somebody about comedian. Like, you're a comedian. You're not a musician.
It's true.
Why are you talking to me about songwriting? I don't know. I never liked him.
Huh. All right, now it's time for you to dish. Which celebrity did you meet and were they nice? 1-800-330-9999. Howie Mandel was mean to Nick Fradiani. It's not nice.
Very disappointed in him.
Yeah. People always ask me, like, who's the most famous person you met? And the truth of the matter is I don't really know a lot of famous people. But Nick won American Idol. He's my guest co-host all this week. So we've been dishing about all the famous people he knows. But who did you meet? Which celebrity? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
Johnny Depp.
Wow. That's a big one. Johnny Depp.
Oh, Johnny Depp. I thought she said Donald Duck. I'm like, I met him too at Disney World. I was like, what? Johnny Depp, where did you meet him?
It was like a film premiere thing at a small theater. And nobody expected him to show up. They were just kind of showing the movie ahead of like the release. And then all of a sudden he comes walking in and then took pictures with everyone, talked to everyone. He was really nice.
I don't know if I would think that Johnny Depp is nice.
I was just going to say I'm surprised, but right? Hey, that's awesome.
You never know.
Super nice. No, I was surprised too, but he was super nice.
Huh.
Every time I think of Johnny Depp, I just see him as a pirate now. That's all I can see him as.
Yeah. Hi, Anna and Raven. Most famous person you met. Who was it?
The most famous person I ever met was Kiki Palmer when she played Cinderella on Broadway. I waited for like 2 hours outside the stage door waiting for her.
Was she nice?
Oops.
We always ask the same things.
She was so sweet, and her mother was so sweet, too. She was, like, side by side with her mother, and they were just, like, so nice. They took pictures with us. It took a long time for them to come out, but, like, it was definitely worth it.
That's sweet. I like that.
We've been hearing a lot of good ones. Yeah. Hi, Anna and Raven. Most famous person you ever met. Who was it?
Most famous person I ever met was Matthew McConaughey, and I think he was actually hitting on me, and I didn't know it was him. And my friends were like, yo, why did you just tell Matthew McConaughey we're not going in the limo with him and his friends?
Wait.
Wow.
Many, many, many years ago.
Time out. You have to start at the beginning. If Matthew McConaughey invites you into a limo, explain to me why.
You get in that limo.
You get in the limo.
Guy. First of all, he's short. I'm a tall woman. I'm a tall, handsome woman. And I just didn't get it. Like, we were at a party and, like, he and his friends were all just, like, kind of, I don't know, for lack of a better word, basic. And I just didn't get that it was Matthew McConaughey. He was like, why don't you and your friend come with me? Also, I was new to the city, coming from the notion of, like, you don't get in a car with strangers, like, 21 years old.
Yeah. No, when you say it that way, if my daughter was 21 years old in a new city, I don't care who asked her to get in a car. I hope that she would respond the exact same way. But when I met Matthew McConaughey, I didn't think he was short. But then again, I'm short, so maybe everybody's just tall to me.
Yeah, it's crazy how celebrities, like, I don't know if you notice this, because you do meet a lot of musicians and people that come in, and, like, sometimes you don't realize how small,
yeah,
like, a lot of, like, famous people are, because they just look so big on TV.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah. When we do a lot of our interviews and things like that, and they walk in, you get taken back sometimes.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
like, oh,
I remember I met Nick Jonas, and I thought he was, like, going to be my height, and he is not. He's a tiny little guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's tiny. He's, like, up to my chin.
Get out of here.
Swear to God.
That's wild.
But he, like, when you see him on stage, he's all butt. He looks like he's, like, 6'5". I guess he just carries himself that way, which is good.
Well, because he got swagger. Like, that was the
For
thing
sure.
about Matthew McConaughey. It's like, so I was not supposed to go down. At the time, I was working for a radio station in New York City, and it was Howard Stern had him on. And I went, and they said, don't go near the studios when Matthew McConaughey's here. But I had to see Matthew McConaughey. So I 100% did not listen to what my boss said. I went down, and he walked by me in his tight leather pants. And I just, like, my jaw just dropped. I can't imagine being at a party and him being like, come in a limo, and you'd be like, nah, I'm good. But who did you meet that was famous? And were they nice? Let us know on our Facebook page. Just search Anna and Raven.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Todd and Samantha. Samantha, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my fiancé, Todd, is going to be having his bachelor party, and we're getting married next summer, so we're very excited. He's planning it for the spring, and anyway, he's taking his dad on the bachelor party trip with him. So I thought, you know, why not bring my dad? It'd be a really good bonding experience, and you all could just, you know, have a really good time, and who knows, maybe become fast friends. He does not like the idea.
Todd, why? Why don't you want to invite Samantha's dad? I'm guessing why, but go ahead.
Because it's weird. I mean, what else can I say? Honestly, I'm inviting my dad to go to a bachelor party, and you know pretty much what happens at bachelor parties. I'm sure of it. You know, I don't want also Samantha's dad to be there, too. It's just really strange. It doesn't feel right.
I feel like it's kind of strange that you're having your own father there, to be honest. But
I agree.
I don't know if dad. I mean, I guess if it's a low-key where's the bachelor party?
Over in Las Vegas.
Oh.
Like, that's like a party, you know?
Yeah.
Nick, I know you're really close with your father. Would you have your father go on your bachelor party?
No.
No.
No, I don't think so. Hmm. Actually, and I'm really close to my dad, and he's close to a lot of my friends, so maybe. But I've never gone to a bachelor party where a father's been there.
Hmm.
Personally. But.
Todd, what's your relationship like with your father that you feel comfortable that your dad's there? Well, I mean, I guess it's got to be really close. Can't they just babysit each other, the dads?
He's like my best friend. Like, I mean, aside from Samantha.
Good save there. Good save.
Mm.
Good.
Samantha, do you think your dad would actually go? Is your dad like a party kind of guy? Or do you think it's more a matter of just being extended the invite?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like more likely than not, he probably won't go. I feel like it's almost like a courtesy. You know what I mean? Because like his dad's going and all the groomsmen are going and my dad knows, you know, a couple of the groomsmen. And so I just almost like it's a courtesy. If he did go, like, my dad's cool. I don't think it would be weird. I mean, Todd, you know him. Like, he's a good time. And honestly, he probably would go to bed early. Let's be honest. So.
All right. Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Samantha. Extending the invite.
One.
Isn't it strange? Like,
it's weird.
But I could understand if you want your father to feel included. If his dad wasn't going, then this is a non-issue.
Right.
But because he is, that's where I can see kind of the gray area. But Todd, they may see your side, too, that if you're uncomfortable, it's your bachelor party, and how are you really going to let loose when your fiance's dad is over your shoulder?
Right.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Todd and Samantha are getting married, and Todd is planning his bachelor party for next spring. He's going to Vegas, and he invited his father to go as well. He's very close with his dad. But Samantha said, wait a minute. If you're going to invite your dad, you got to invite my dad, too. And Todd's like, it's different when my future father-in-law comes. Do you think it's different? Do you think he should extend the invite? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court.
I'm on neither of their sides. I think the whole thing is weird that they want their fathers to be at this bag party. Absolutely unacceptable. Forget it. Don't invite either father.
I'm with you.
Right? Well, thank you for the call. I was thinking about it, though. Like, in my family, and I come from a big Italian family, the bachelor party is a relatively new thing. When we were growing up, I remember that they used to have stag parties.
A lot of my friends still do stags. A stag and a bachelor party.
Okay, so
the stag, like, raises money for the groom.
Right.
And stuff like that. So that's where the fathers go.
Exactly.
Yes.
So, to me, I'm getting confused because I'm like, well, all the dads go to the stag party.
Wait, but is stag thing only, like, an Italian thing?
I don't know. I've never met anybody else that does
it. All my Italian friends all do it. I've mentioned a stag to other people, and they like don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with a stag, it's like you kind of rent out a hall, and people buy tickets to go, like all the groom's friends.
Right.
And it's really like a donation to the groom.
There's like raffles and all this stuff, and yeah, at the end, you know, you give all the money to the groom.
Exactly.
The bachelor party is like the close friends go out. Like usually the people in the wedding will go and do, you know.
But there's usually entertainment in a form of entertainment at the stags too, and if your parents are there for that, your dad's. I mean, I what's it different from a bachelor party? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Nick, if you even invited your father to your bachelor party, do you think he would want to go?
Probably. Yeah. I feel like my dad would be there.
All right, it's an interesting Couples Court today because. Todd and Samantha are getting married. Todd has invited his father to his bachelor party in Vegas, and Samantha wants him now to invite her dad. Yeah, her dad, too. Todd is clearly not on board with this because he's like, it's your dad. It's different when your father's coming versus, you know, my soon-to-be father-in-law standing over my shoulder.
But I think she wants some extra eyes there.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm starting to think this is like... Nothing's going to go on if my dad's there.
I think it's different. I think it's like she wants her dad to be one of the
involved,
boys. And not be left out.
I'm being more negative.
Well, you're being like Todd. Nick, that's what you're doing. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think about this?
I do not believe the father-in-law should be invited to the bachelor party because I feel that you have a different relationship usually with your own father, and it takes time to build that relationship. To have a really, really good time at your bachelor party.
I agree. Thank you so much. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm going to be on the groom. I think it's his dad, it's his bachelor party, and so be it.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on Todd's side. Believe it or not, I am. And I just feel like he's getting married too, and it's his father. So it should be just his father going with his friends, not Samantha's. And if Samantha wants to take her dad out to do something, that's fine, but no.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Todd, our audience agreed with you today. It's unnecessary for you to have to invite Samantha's dad. And Samantha, to be honest, we don't think that he would even expect an invitation.
Thank you. That's all I can say about that.
Well, okay, fine. I can see that point, but my family can party hard too, so it's not like he hasn't seen you at your finest. So if that's the worry, then I think, you know, if there's other stuff going on at this bachelor party that's going to be embarrassing, then maybe we need to talk about that.
Well, I thought that was understood across the board, but I guess not.
I think anytime Vegas is just brought up in a relationship, it's a never ends. Very good. There's never happy people involved. It's
true. If you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
It's Anna and Raven's Nick Frattiani on Shuffle.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, good morning. It's Kathy. How are you?
I'm great, Kathy. Yeah, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I've been listening all week, and I haven't really heard too many songs I knew, so I'm worried.
All right, well, Kathy, today is all about 80s hair bands. So three 80s hair bands, three songs. Nick has no idea what songs they are. I'm going to hold them up, correctly identify two out of three, and you're going to win this Amazon Echo.
How do you feel about 80s songs? Are you good at this, you think?
I was in high school then.
All right.
I think
she's going to do good.
I think so, too. All right, here's number one.
Here I go again on my own, going down the only road I've ever known. Like a drifter, I was born to walk alone.
That's good. That's enough. Kathy, what song is that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Here I go again.
I mean, he literally said it. Literally said, here I go again.
Just like three octaves lower because I'm not singing right now.
That's white.
It should be called Nick Mumbles.
Nick Mumbles.
Incorrect song lyrics. And nobody could guess what they are.
That was good. She should have gotten that one. All right, here's number two. You need both of these to win the Amazon Echo.
Oh, this song is way too high at this hour. Okay, I'll sing the verse. I can't sing the verse. You won't get it. Oh, we're halfway there. Everybody, come on.
Oh,
living on a prayer.
Take my hand.
If you can't get that one.
Come on, what is that?
Isn't it Living on a Prayer?
And who sings it?
I don't know.
Oh. Someone's getting a little nervous on the radio.
Yeah, it's Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We're going to do this last one just for fun. Just because I want to hear Nick sing this. Ready? Here, Nick.
Okay. Should I sing the... I mean, it has the title in it again.
Well,
so
she's still got to guess the band.
She didn't get it right anyway.
Yeah.
Pour some sugar on me. I can't get enough. I'm hot, sticky, sweet. From my head to my feet, yeah.
Kathy, please. Give it to me.
That's Motley Crue. It's Motley Crue. Sticky Sweet.
No. No? It is Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me. I'm sorry, Kathy. We're going to take the next caller at 1-800-330-9999. You'll win this Amazon Echo.